Have you ever been back to your primary school? And maybe some of you have got children in primary school. You go back to school and you suddenly realise how small everything is. I suppose I'm used to it. I work in a primary school. It just becomes part of my thinking. And do you ever remember the fact that when you were in primary school, you used to think how big you were, how mature you were? Maybe you were in standard six or year standard four or year six as it is now. And you thought, do you know what? You thought, top of the school, I am the big fish in this school. But when you go back, you realize how little you were, how little everything was. On one sense, you thought you were very mature, but in another sense, you were very immature. Well, Paul here, in this passage that I read in 1 Corinthians 2, is talking about maturity. Maturity in the Christian faith. What it is to be mature. He's speaking to the church in Corinth. They had received God's word. There were many Christians there. The church had been set up. And he's speaking to them about what it means to be mature and what they have in Christ. Now, this is a game of two halves today. Okay, because Paul is speaking to them and there's two halves of what he has to say to them here in this chapter, in these words that he speaks to them. Because there's no such thing as chapters are a late edition, of course. So from verses 6 through to the end of that reading, it's a game of two halves. It's a sermon of two halves. Okay? So we might as well dive straight in. Let's dive straight in and get on with it. Then the first point that he makes, the first half of it, is from verses 6 through to 16. I suppose we could have read the whole of the chapter too. Verse 6 through to 16. And verse 6. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age, who are deemed to pass away. Let's look at verse 5. That's important in this context. That your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, the first point is this. Every Christian is mature. You're saying, well, I look around, Glyn, and I see maybe you're young in Christ, you're a young Christian, and I see there's older Christians who I love and I respect. They're more mature in their Christian faith, what they've been through, their experiences. But that's not what this is saying. He's talking of a godly wisdom that every single Christian has. Every single Christian has this godly wisdom. And he wants them to know. Now, the other half of this passage, Paul is going to really challenge them. He's going to speak very directly the truth to them. And quite harsh in verse 1 of chapter 3. But he's telling them what they are. And it's in comparison here. We are maturing compared to the world. That's the context here. You're saying, well, Glyn, I don't understand. There's more mature Christians than I am. How is this? Well, he's talking here of comparing with non-Christians. You see, in verse 5, he's saying there's a wisdom of men. Now, just to give you a context, what was Corinth famous for? Debate and philosophy. Men would argue and discuss there in the different forums that were across the city. There'd be great philosophers. That was the wisdom of men. And he is saying every single Christian is far more mature than any of those philosophies of the time. Far more wiser than any non-Christian, than any unbeliever that was in the city. Something that men cannot understand. You see, he's telling them, you are not a mere man. Okay? He's telling them, you are not just a physical being sat here today in 2017. You are far more than that. Something the world cannot understand. So let's explore what he meant by this wisdom in these verses that take us up to the end of chapter 2. Well, this wisdom is, how do we attain this wisdom? That's important to start with. How do we become mature then? Well, if you go back, and you don't need to go back, find chapter 1, verse 4. In this letter that Paul writes to Corinth, he says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace that was given to you in Christ Jesus. This wisdom is the gospel. Maybe some of you are thinking, that's a little bit disappointing. I was expecting more. But it is amazing grace. It's when you and I first saw Jesus for the first time. It's when we heard the gospel and we responded. It's when we saw ourselves as we really were. It's when we saw God for the first time and we feared him and we feared what he might do to us. And then grace came and we were forgiven. That's the gospel. This is the wisdom that he's talking about. We have new eyes to see because our hearts have been quickened. We've seen this light. And firstly, it's a wisdom not of this age. In verse 6, what is this wisdom? What is this gospel message? What does it do? Well, it's not of this age. And as I said, that age would have been philosophies and great debates and great philosophies. But Paul says it's not that. What's the philosophies of our time? Look inside yourself. Do you hear that? I hear it all the time. Look inside yourself. Look within, and you will be enlightened. God says, no, it's not from within. This is a wisdom, not of this age. And that was important for the Corinthians to hear. There would have been, as he's preaching them, as I'm speaking to you now, there would have been fishermen, and there would have been school children, and there would have been all sorts of people. We read that in verse 2. There would have been the wealthy. There would have been the sellers of materials and businesswomen and businessmen. There would have been a whole range. And some would have felt insecure, but I don't know much. And he's saying, you know it because you know the wisdom of God. You see, it's wisdom from heaven itself, verse 7. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. The mystery of his will. You see, when Christ came to this world, this wasn't God's plan as a backup plan. This was his plan of salvation, wasn't it? God didn't think, right, what must I do? How can I save these people? How can I bring them to myself? I know I'll send Jesus. This was decreed before the beginning of time. You only got to read Ephesians 1 of this. You know, God decreed that Christ would come. He would open our eyes. The truth of the gospel message, the truth of his word, would open our eyes, open our understanding. Because it was from heaven itself. It was a wisdom that was hidden from man. In verse 7, again, none of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, on verse 8, sorry, none of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, people who are not Christians, and maybe this is you this morning, you think it's foolishness. You think the gospel is mad. We got a taste of that, didn't we? Really got a taste of that. Dan Walker, who works for the news now in the morning three times a week and does Football Focus. I don't know whether anyone saw him yesterday. He was trying to press Arsene Wenger to tell him whether would he be giving up this summer? Give me an answer. He was there. So he's quite prominent in BBC. They slated him. They, in the newspaper, how could a Christian who believes in the truth of the gospel, how could he present the news, the factual news? That in and of itself is ironic. How could he do that? There's a mockery there. How could a Christian do facts? How could he speak objectively? You see, you might get that in school. You might get it with your own family. How can you believe that? Well, it's hidden from them. It's hidden from them. Don't be surprised when your children don't believe. Don't be surprised when people who've been to church for many years, and maybe that's you. Maybe there's church members here. For many years, you fooled everyone. It's still hidden from you because it's from God. And it's by the wisdom revealed by His Holy Spirit. We must not forget this third person of the Trinity. In verse 10, bear with me. I know this is just looking at the text. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Who can understand God? I can't. You can't. Dawkins can't. Stephen Hawking can't. The greatest mind can't. Einstein couldn't. No one can fathom God. We couldn't until that point where the Holy Spirit came and He opened your eyes and you saw God. You saw things you'd never seen before. And he goes on. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? You know, the person who's closest to you doesn't understand you, do they? Your dearest friend doesn't understand you. They'll never understand you. And we can never understand God, the depths of God's love. We can never understand him. But the Holy Spirit does. And that Holy Spirit lives within us. And these amazing words then in verse 16. That we have the mind of Christ. I hope I painted for you a picture of what we have in Christ. And what does that mean? The mind of Christ. Well, Matthew Henry says this, the mind of Christ is the mind of God. He is God and God's Son. The apostles were empowered by the Holy Spirit and make known the mind of Christ to us. And in the Bible, the mind of Christ is God's will revealed to us. We were reminded last week, weren't we, that we have the posh word is sufficiency of Scripture. God has revealed His word to us when the word became flesh in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit took that and He quickened you. And we now have the Word of God. And there is everything that we need. Some of you thinking of going into the ministry. Some of you considering, how can I speak with my friend this week? He's struggling. Maybe you're struggling. Go to the cross. It's sufficient because it's God's Word. Take them to the Word. Help them, encourage them to read the Word. Read with them if you need to. Pray with them if you need to, but take them to the Word, because we now have the mind of Christ. And if that person is a Christian that you're worried about or concerned about, they will hear it because they too have the Holy Spirit. And one of the most encouraging things, verses for me, is when in Romans 8 that we have the Holy Spirit who testifies with God's Word that they are children of God. We have a great counselor, don't we, in the Holy Spirit that gives us the Word. So just to the end of this first point, what is the wisdom? What is that wisdom? It's not of this world. It's folly to men. It's decreed by God. It's the Holy Spirit that opens it up, opens our eyes to it. by way of application. You know, whether you're young or old, whether you're a baby Christian, maybe your faith, you're not sure, am I a Christian? Mum and Dad, they believed it. I'm not sure, but I think I am. You are wise because you know far more than your friends, because you know the truth that is the King of Kings. No condemnation now I dread. And this is the amazing line. Jesus and all in him is mine. Have we grasped what we have in Jesus Christ? Don Carson writes this: the Spirit opens up these vistas of understanding that would otherwise remain opaque to us. We're off to Llanfair Cyreinion this afternoon, straight after church. And we'll hopefully be in Newtown Church this evening. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow's particularly. I love going back to Mid Wales. There's a road that goes from a place called Llangynog to Bala. And for miles, you're traveling through the valley. Then suddenly you go up this mountain. And you go along, you traverse this mountain in the car to get over the Bedouins to then to enter down into Bala. I love it every time, because when you go up, you turn back, and I will be driving, so I'm going to have to stop. You turn back, and you suddenly see where you've been. You suddenly have this, I presume that's what Carson means by vista, you suddenly have this view, you suddenly have this picture that you'd not seen before. Have you ever experienced that? Or when you're on the mountain and the clouds clear, you've been traveling through, and I've done it on Cadre just several times, and it's wet and cold. You get to the top, phew, the clouds clear, and you're suddenly walking next to a deep valley, and you see it for the first time. That is what every Christian possesses. This great view, this wisdom. For the first time when I became a Christian, I realized what sin was. I realized what sin was. I never knew it before. I realized who God was. I realized who I was. Christian, you are wise. You know who you are. And that's still complex, isn't it? If you're anything like me, you do something and then you muck it up. You say you want to do something, your heart is complex. You shout at the children, you think, I didn't want to do that. Sin is right there with you. But you know who God is. That's why Calvin's Institutes, the greatest theological set that gave us what we have today, to support what is in Scripture, he said, the beginning of wisdom means knowing who God is and knowing who man is. Do you want to know yourself? Come to God's Word. It's been opened up to you. Wisdom is knowing the confusion of this week with Manchester. It's not about Islam, is it? It's not about extremists. It's about the brokenness of man, isn't it? Isn't that what we have to say to people? We're not condemning of Islam, although there'd be things that we would disagree, we could not tolerate, we could not agree with. But let's focus beyond that. It is the heart of man. There is a brokenness that came from Genesis 3. That's our solid ground. Because in the name of Christianity, there's been things that have happened, not necessarily true Christian, there's been things that have happened that it's about the heart of man. That's what wisdom gives you. You suddenly have views of things that you never had before because the Holy Spirit is working within us. Okay. That's the first half. The second half is much shorter. So, are you mature? So the question is, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? If you know God, You have a treasure that is far above what the world has. So you are mature if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul comes speaking truth in love. Let's look at chapter 3, the first four verses. This is the second half. It's a bit like the Welsh game, wasn't it? It's a bit like, sorry, not the Welsh games, the Liverpool Europa Cup final. I was thinking about it as I was watching Man United steamroll that game. I was thinking, I remember, it was a great first half, wasn't it? We stuffed them, we were winning 2-0 up, and then the second half was a disaster. Well, this isn't quite the same as a disaster, but it's a very different half to what we've just heard. But they're very much interlinked. Now, for those in my family, I've suddenly been given a new title in my house, and that is, I'm a bit like my father. I've suddenly become obsessed with a piece of land that is 6 meters by 5 meters. It's in the back of my garden, and I'm growing some grass. Okay, I rarely, rarely grow anything. But I've suddenly discovered that I can grow grass. I am chuffed with myself, I've got to be honest. Right, I am chuffed. I'm out there in the morning before work and I'm spraying it. And I even thinking during the day, I hope there's enough, and that's in a busy day, I'm thinking, I hope it's got enough water. It's a bit hot outside. As soon as I get home, I'm there in the garden, spraying. That's not like me. But I got to tell you, I even asked, there's a gardener, there was a contractor coming to school because we're changing our contractors, and that's, I said, oh, my grass, I can't see any growth at the moment, I said to him. He said, give it a week and you should see some shoots. Well, I wasn't seeing much growth, so I was a bit worried, but then I saw some grass. The seeds I'd planted were growing. I'd watered, I'd cared for it. Flea and I had got rid of the stones, we prepared it, the seed had landed, and it was growing. And he was even watering just before coming out today. Paul wasn't seeing much growth. In fact, how is he to describe them? This is where sometimes you need to know what your culture is, because we don't use the word babes, do we? We do, but not in the context that it's being used here. And in the ESV, it would use the word infant. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, which is what he's been talking about in the previous verses, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. You've got babes in the New King James, let's use the word infants. After declaring that they have so much, he's then saying, you're like babies. You think, how could he say that? I just love the way Paul says, though. What does he say? But I, brothers. Now, if you're coming to speak difficult things to people, building each other up, Paul is saying, look, I am like you. We are brothers. I'm a sinner like you. And that's how he starts. And he says, but I, brothers, and here he comes. He says, you're like infants. You think you mature, and you are because you have the wisdom of God, but you're not acting like it. You've not grown. There's no signs. I can imagine Paul coming. And I feel when I come to church and when I look, and that's my calling, isn't it? To look at, see growth. I see sprouts of green, and I have conversations and I hear people talk and I see people serve each other and I see people share the gospel. I see greens in church here in Emmanuel. And he wasn't seeing much. He says what he saw was merely human. Carnal is this old word for flesh. He's seeing just merely men, natural men. See, every Christian is supernatural, aren't we? Because we've been given this wisdom. But he was just seeing actions that just spoke of ordinary men. And he's disappointed. They were behaving, says Jonathan Thomas, like a child in big school, but they were still drinking milk and throwing their toys out of the pram. And that context was, of course, Apollos and Paul. Some wanted to follow Paul, some wanted to follow Apollos. Which man shall we follow? Paul is like this. And there were groups, not just ones where they were saying, well, we prefer the preaching of Paul, but we love Apollos. We love what he gives. We love the way that Lord uses him. We know it's God's work. But they were factions and groups. And Paul, and this is important, the first thing, so this is the second point, and this first part of the second point is this. The gospel message has all you need to grow. I think I've mentioned it. One of the amazing things about a baby in a mother's womb is that it's growing. How does it grow? It grows through the nutrients that the mum gives to that baby. The baby doesn't have to digest. The baby doesn't have to do anything, does it? It just is. And it grows. And when it's born, it's a similar sort of picture. We liquidize the food and it's milk. And the baby has that alone because its digestive system is slowly growing and changing. And in about 6 months or 7 months or 8 months or 3 months, as it was with some of our children, you have solid food. And the baby tastes this solid, doesn't like it at first. Have you seen that? You know when babies, you put some into their mouth and they do that, they spew it out. But a healthy baby, and if you're even as a caring, loving parent, you'll say, no, just try it and eat it. And gradually, they try and they swallow. And gradually, they get used to this solid food, and then they have teeth, and they start to chew, and they start to grow. Paul is not saying here to them that the milk and the meat are different. Now, that's very important. It's very important for your Christian walk. He's saying they're the same nutrients that you have when you first became a Christian to when the even most experienced and the most mature Christian is that. And what is that message? What are those nutrients? It's the cross. It's saying no to sin. It's knowing that I can be forgiven. It's knowing that I can be cleansed. That's the first message. It's a message of repentance. But does that repentance stop? It continues and it continues all the way through your Christian life. John Calvin says this, Christ is milk for infants and strong meat for men. And they were behaving like infants. And he says that in verse 1. He says, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh. And what were they like? How were they behaving like infants? Well, there was jealousy. Have you ever... I know people are in primary education. Some of you got children. Jealousy. They've gone off with my friend. You know, I have a little four-year-old looking at me. I have no friends. Jealousy. And then they end up punching them, which is generally the way that it works in my school. And we do restorative. We do all of those things, of course. But it's very difficult to change the heart of a little child. Jealousy. And strife and insecurity. And you see it all here. Both terms point to self-assertion and unhealthy rivalries. And Paul says, you need to grow up. You've had the milk, and you're not growing. You've had the gospel, and you're not growing. That means when something new comes, I love Apollos, I esteem Apollos, Paul, I don't like him so much. They're not seeing that God brings the work. And if you read later verses, we sow it. I sowed that water, didn't I? I sowed those seeds. And although I water, it's God that waters. It's God that grows. It's God's word that grows it. And they were just hearers of the word, but they weren't doers of the word. So by way of application, just to bring that, are we sermon tasters? Are we just sermon tasters? Am I just a sermon preparer? And that's it. Has that seed gone into your heart, the wisdom of God, and are you bringing it to maturity? Are you feeding it? Are you starting to chew? Or you expect the person to stand here and chew it for you? I want it simple. I want him to explain everything to me. Don't make it too complex. Or preach Jesus, preach the cross, but don't make it too complex. And there's words of that, of course, the duty of a pastor is and a preacher is to make it simple. But they're the deep mysteries of God. There's things you don't understand today, and probably there will be. Go home. Talk about it after the service. I didn't get that. I didn't agree with him, in fact. But this part... Don't be sermon tasters. And that's important for us as a church, I think, where we are, as a church, looking for a new pastor. If we're not careful, we just become, well, I liked him, but I didn't like him. And that's a trap that we all fall into. I speak to myself on this. Is there something in this person? I think, yeah, he's going to point me to Christ. And I'll have to chew things myself because I can see that God can work through this person. So are we sermon tasters? And the other question that's a good one to ask, are we teaching others? Are you a person who is teaching others, whether you're young or old? Are you teaching God's word to others through conversations? That doesn't mean through sermons or through Bible studies, but are you a living, walking testimony to Jesus Christ? And are you willing to share that with others? So just as a conclusion then, are you among those today who are mature? Maybe you've been coming to church for many years and you still don't know those views that come through having God's word implanted in your heart. Everyone thinks that you are. Everyone thinks that you are, yeah, he does this and he does that. Because one day there will be a time when we come to God and he will say, depart from me. Oh, I did this in his name, you'd say to him. And he'll say, depart from me. You did this in your name. You were a sermon hearer alone. It tickled your fancy. It tickled your emotions. It tickled your intellect. Oh, I loved someone who was so theological. It made me think. But did it move your heart? See, there's a difference. Seeing the light of the gospel or the glory of Christ. It's a beauty perceived by the eyes of the heart. Not a physical light. It's a quickening light. Have you known that? Well, can I tell you? Go to the cross. If you're not sure where you stand, go to the cross this morning and cry out to him. But for those of us who've experienced the gospel, who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, he has given us amazing resources in the Lord Jesus. Do you know who you are, Christian? Maybe you need to get digesting. Maybe you need to just get hard work and start studying God's word by the aid of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to meet up with someone and read the word if you're struggling with that. Maybe you need just to spend time alone with God. And you know what? Sometimes it's only one decision. Shall I do this? Or shall I just have 5-10 minutes with the Lord, asking him by his Holy Spirit to speak to me through his word? It is that simple. And everything you need, because your eyes have been opened, you have the mind of Christ. You know, being grown up is a bit of a funny thing. I don't know, we've got a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old, and I'm looking at the different ages, with 17-year-old, 20-year-old, 40-year-old, 50-year-old, however old you are, you probably think, well, to be honest, I'm reasonably mature. But actually, have you ever been to a place where you think, I'm actually quite mature as a Christian? And then you spend time with people and you think, actually, or you spend time with yourself for the day and you realize, oh, my heart is sinful. And it's a bit like that. You think you're mature, but actually you're not. And that's the Christian life, Christian. Okay? This is the reality of Christian maturity. Sin is right there. Let's go to the cross. We're going to sing our last hymn now, which is Love Divine or Love's Excelling. I wonder whether you can say Love Divine. In your mind, are you putting Friends Divine or Love's Excelling? Maybe you're putting My Future, My Degree Divine or Love's Excelling. Maybe you say My Job Divine or Love's Excelling. What are each of us putting in there that we can't sing that song only by asking God to help us sing and say the real meaning of the word love, which is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Love divine, or love's excelling. That is the love that has been put in our hearts, and that's all we need to build our lives become. Because what it is, it makes us more like the Lord Jesus. And who wouldn't want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen.